Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, he... Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
Si, senor.
A dimly lit room where? Deep within the bowels. That's where it should be. Deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications Compound. And hey, air buddy, on a Friday, we're under the tutelage of our general manager.
The United States military. All five branches.
And why are they our general manager today?
A lot of interesting information kicking around as the military budget, the Pentagon budget, gets discussed on Capitol Hill, and various military leaders coming out talking about how ready we are or not for conflict.
Well, we were ready for a drone strike in Syria, apparently, overnight, because we blasted some people because some Iranian drone blasted us, killing like a half dozen people. Including some of our, killing one and injuring a half dozen people, including some of our soldiers. So, that's a fairly big deal. Did you know we still have soldiers in Syria fighting ISIS? Fighting ISIS is what they're doing. Anyway, an Iranian drone hit them, and so we hit back overnight, and we'll see where that story goes.
Yeah, at some point, I would love to redo what we did a number of, months ago, which was run down everywhere we have active duty military troops on Earth, because it is an impressive list of places.
Yeah, and like ISIS is a group you've heard of, but there are we got some of our best, brightest, bravest in countries fighting people you might not have ever even heard of in your life. All
right,
over the world.
Right, yeah, all over Africa. I mean, keeping an eye on your Boko Haram lunatics and you know, that sort of group.
So I'm a little bit fired up about a couple of things I heard on the media on the way in. So I feel like I got to weigh in on while I'm angry. Strike while
let's get fired up. We are fired up.
Strike while the iron is hot. I'll mention that I particularly heard it on NPR. And one thing that bothers me about that is it was several weeks ago. We had Ian Bremmer on, a guest we really, really like, global thinker, geopolitical thinker. And we were talking about the state of the world and whatnot. And you made some sort of crack about NPR being liberal. And he said his retort was, and I guess that's why they allowed me to interview Steve Bannon on there, which I guess was supposed to end the conversation with, well, if you're allowed to interview Steve Bannon on NPR, then I guess they aren't liberal. And, you know, I don't mind that Ian Bremmer's politics are way to the left of mine. That's got nothing to do with it. I just, the idea that there are so many people that believe NPR is straight news drives me crazy. And two stories.
It's hilarious.
I know. It's hilarious. I would like to sit down with them and, like, let's listen to a morning cast together and go through story by story and then either talk about the takes on the stories or talk about the stories they didn't do. And two stories I heard today that just drove me nuts. One, they were doing the whole gender reaffirming care that they call it on NPR and the various laws in Florida and how DeSantis has made it against the law, or is still in the process of making it against the law for them to do anything with your kid at school without your knowledge, pushing your kid down the road toward transitioning. Mm-hmm. And completely one-sided view of the story, even though I guarantee you, like, 85% of America is not on the side that they're on. But anyway, they mentioned it at some point after doing the story in their serious tones about DeSantis banning children from having the ability to get health care that they so desperately need and blah, blah, blah. And mentioning many medical groups have approved the use of gender-affirming surgeries. And then they went on to the next story without mentioning how about the gazillions of groups, including all of Europe, that has decided it's a horrible idea for people under 18.
Right. Yeah, they've decided this has gone way too far. It's all experimental. There's no data that shows it's a good idea. This is an awful idea. That's right. Our brave, progressive European heroes that, you know, lefty America loves to point to.
Many medical groups have published studies positive about the idea of gender-affirming care. Okay, you're not going to mention any of the pushback. Books, experts, all of Europe, as we just said. Okay, that's fine. That's one story. But the one that really got me going, because I'm a parent, is they did a story on how kids are having trouble learning in public schools because they're so worried about climate change. And here's yet another fallout from climate change that kids are so worried they can't learn. I mean, so there are many tentacles to the climate change story. And I thought, so in public schools, because, you know, I've lived this experience. So your kids go into a school where in every class, no matter what it is, they work in the dangers of climate change and how the earth is going to burn up in their lifetime unless drastic measures are taken. And then you talk about how they're worried about it.
They're so terrified and anxious about it, they can't concentrate and learn anything.
Jeez, how do you suppose they got that way? I mean, they might be hearing it at home, depending on the parents, but in my case, they aren't hearing it at home. You teach them something. This is the scariest thing that's ever happened to human beings all day long in school, and then complain if they're upset about it. I found that hilarious.
Well, it's amazing the extent to which the left, including the far left, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, you're moderate Democrat. I know that's fine. We can talk about policy and argue or whatever. But your far left progressive woke types have given up on convincing adults of a lot of this stuff. And so they go after the children. And I include college students in that group of people because they're children, more or less. And that's clearly their strategy.
Well, it's a pretty good one because it's working and it will work because the next generation will be because they certainly haven't heard any opposition to it. I mean, nobody's presenting any yeah, but or maybe it may be this or maybe that. Nobody.
No, indeed. It's unbelievable. You know, getting back to that whole gender affirming care nonsense. The American Academy of Pediatrics is a lefty organization, and their policies on that stuff were written by one woman who is a known activist in this field. One woman, without peer review or the data being subject to, serious scrutiny or anything. It's their policies on this stuff, I was reading about this a bunch, are essentially an activist opinion piece. And that's all. They're not based in science or human decency or a million years of human activity and tradition. It's ridiculous. It's like when everybody figured out that AARP is an activist left-wing organization. It's not some sort of neutral, protector of the gray-haired. Neither is the American Academy of Pediatrics,
which I didn't know until I had a kid and started looking into it. Anyway, speaking of kids, briefly, and their attitudes. My kids, one in particular, expressed some attitude around a political issue the other day, and I won't get into what it is because it doesn't matter. But and I know I've never talked about it. I mean, I know that I haven't ever talked about it. And I just thought, how do your kids come to the views that they have? Does it just, and I mean, their views were similar to mine. but I just, how do your kids come to have the views that they have? Do they just seep through your pores into them, even if you're not discussing it at the dinner table? Is it just the way you live your life that has, I don't even know.
Yeah, I think that there's something to that, and they hear you maybe when you don't think they're listening.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. But boy, I don't think I've ever talked about
this. And you have been known to angrily lecture the occasional post office box or fire hydrant.
Yes, Michael.
Were they screaming about the flat tax?
Yes, exactly. Wow, no, it was a beautiful. it was a strong opinion that is really not one that you should probably say out loud, and certainly not where we live. And I just thought, well, how did you come to think that? I mean, I agree with you, but how did you come to think that? I was thinking to myself,
wow,
you didn't hear it from me. I mean, I know you didn't. So I wonder about that. You know, people tend to have the same politics as their parents.
For a while.
Yeah, which is what the school's trying to do away with. Remember exactly. The great Woodrow Wilson quote that the goal of public schools is to make the kids as less like the parents as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a hell of a scary thing.
Yeah. Indoctrination.
We should start the show officially. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this Friday, March 24th, the year 2023. We are Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Okay, let's begin then. Officially, according to FCC rules and regulations, the show begins at mark.
People should be happy that we're a little bit scared of this. I think people should be
happy. You're a little bit scared.
A little bit, yeah.
You personally.
I think if I said I were not, you should either not trust me or be very unhappy I'm in this job.
Who is that?
That is the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman, admitting that, yeah, he's a little scared of artificial intelligence.
And basically saying anybody that's not scared is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. If you're riding a tiger, you ought to be aware you're riding a tiger, certainly.
Wow. So you had smartphones come along and all this social media stuff, which has turned out to be horrible for us. But nobody was worried about that at the beginning. We thought it was all going to be a positive, and it turned out to be a negative. Mm-hmm. Now you've got one where the people who created it are saying, oh, this could be bad. So where does that one end up?
Well, and you remember the ridiculously, hilariously rosy expectations for and predictions for the internet, how it would eliminate misinformation and bring people together and eliminate tribal arguments and that sort of thing, because everybody could share openly. And you're right.
That's my point. Yeah, if they presented the past major changes, the internet, then social media, as positive, turned out to be negative. How about if they start from, oh, this could be bad? Where is it going to end up? Holy crap!
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I say every day, we have no idea where this is going. We're going to find out damn soon. How does mailbag look for today?
Oh, it's good. It's nice. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, that's
Friday. It's got a fair amount of humor to it.
I'm hoping to enjoy it. And a bunch of news we need to get to today on a Friday. Our text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Second poll this week with a huge swing toward Trump away from DeSantis. We can hit you with that. I mean, like, huge swings. I don't know what that means. I don't know what's driving it, but, man, that's a couple of polls with similar numbers.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. Very, very early, obviously, but something's afoot, right?
I'd say.
Here's your freedom-loving quote of the day. Oh, oh yes. No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Michael and I were looking at each other.
Damn
I think
it.
I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. Yes.
Oh. So you admit it. You're conspiring against me, the two of you.
By letting you forget?
Yes. Yes, that? You're setting me up for failure.
Yeah, Hanson just
see
said
what it. I, see what I have to work with here, folks?
Hanson
backstabbing,
just,
that's what.
Hanson just said in my ear, it's a wonderful day.
It sure is.
You bastard.
This is all about, we know there are listeners who are excited when Joe forgets clips of the week and goes right into mailbag on Friday.
Oh, dang it.
There's that all one right, split let's second.
Talk about a minor pleasure in life.
Yep. Did it really happen? Yes, it's happening.
It's like Christmas came early, isn't it, Michael?
Oh, my God.
All right, you monkeys. All right, let's take a fond look back at the week that was. It's Cow Clips of the Week.
3, 2, 1, liftoff. You are now listening to the Armstrong and Pork Chop Show. Really, it's true.
We no longer state that we anticipate that ongoing rate increases will be appropriate to quell inflation.
ESGs by itself, it just, you know, could kill our economy.
The National Weather Service confirming the area in Los Angeles County saw a rare tornado.
The CDC is sounding the alarm on what's known as Canada Auris. It is a potentially deadly fungus.
What's the biggest mistake you made at your wedding?
Honey, I love you, but said I do.
The Navy's last few decades have been described as a lost generation of shipbuilding. Is that overly dramatic?
I don't think so.
LQ Goldring is one of 104,000 people waiting for a life-saving organ transplant.
Is the system broken?
Oh, yeah. The wait list here in Kentucky is 5 years. I've been waiting 7.5.
Are you from China? Fox News is encountering Chinese nationals being smuggled across our southern border.
Your platform should be banned.
Would you commit to that, not selling the data you collect?
I can get back to you on the details.
Okay,
of that.
Get back to me. All right.
You damn well know that you cannot protect the data.
Vladimir Putin rolling out the red carpet for China's President Xi.
Change is coming that hasn't happened in 100 years, and we are driving this change together.
Donald Trump may have broken the law.
Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg is having trouble convincing the grand jury of potential charges due to the, quote, weakness of the case.
I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star.
Ron DeSantis, did anyone ever hear of DeSantis, the sanctimonious?
This indictment is fake news and a nothing burger. What these people should be doing is listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Flipping people off when you're driving is dead. Give them a thumbs down. They will not forget you.
When you're gone, though I try, how can I carry on?
What a week!
What a week.
We have more highlights from the TikTok hearing yesterday.
Beating,
yeah, the TikTok beating yesterday.
Yeah, it's like one of those ancient Indian ceremonies where you have to run the gauntlet and people are beating you with clubs from both sides.
It was similar.
Here's
to that.
Your freedom-loving quote of the day, folks. Finally, George Orwell, once again. Each generation imagines itself to be more intelligent than the one that went before it and wiser than the one that comes after it.
Yep.
That's a pretty good one. This one's more about freedom-loving quote, freedom-loving, though. Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
You might have to say that one again.
Who controls the past controls the future.
Okay, gotcha. Rewriting history.
Who controls the present controls the past.
There
you go. Rewriting history and twisting the ideas of your young people. Mailbag, which we have almost no time for. Hello, friends, writes Chad. If we get another round of Trump versus Biden, Joe wants to quit radio and become a shoe repairman, huh? Create the first ever cobbler and cobbler. Joe, you can repair shoes while Jack serves you a nice peach cobbler. Now, there's a million-dollar idea. Armstrong and Getty's cobbler and cobbler.
Yeah, actually, I would like that.
It's absolutely idiotic, Chad.
Yeah, let me put a new heel on that shoe here. Enjoy this piping hot peach cobbler while I fix it.
Jeff suggests we come out with a t-shirt and put it on the website. That's what she said.
Yeah. There you go, huh?
As in chairman she. Yeah, good idea. That one I like.
People would throw back their heads in laughter. The TikTok guy getting grilled, among other things, on the way. If you miss an hour of the show, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty on demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
We do not trust TikTok will ever embrace American values. Values for freedom, human rights, and innovation. TikTok has repeatedly chosen the path for more control, more surveillance, and more manipulation. Your platform should be banned.
That's Representative Kathy McMorris Rodgers of Washington. She's a Republican lecturing, and I'm not using that as a pejorative term. The guy who runs TikTok there in the hearing yesterday flat out saying that TikTok should be banned. The guy did take a bit of a beating. You mentioned it being like running the gauntlet where they beat you with sticks. I think he would probably have chosen that if he'd had the choice between 8 hours of being yelled at and called a communist spy. Can I just run through a bunch of you hit me with sticks? Is that an option also?
Any chance you could club me in the head?
Barbaric!
Yeah.
Anyway, let's hear a little more of the... And as I said yesterday, at roughly this time, 24 hours ago, it was going to be one of those deals where you got a common enemy, so they were really going to come out of their shoes. And Republicans and Democrats did.
Well, right. Usually in these hearings, there's kind of a yin and yang to it. You got your friendly side, but the Democrats are with you, but the Republicans are going to beat on you. So you get to take a breath in between the beatings. But it was relentless for 5 hours yesterday.
So I haven't heard this. This is Brenda Carr, the FCC commissioner, I guess, commenting on the hearings. Well, anyway, let's hear it. It's from Jake Tapper's show on CNN.
One of the points TikTok tries to maintain is that they are totally independent from the communist regime back in China. That doesn't really seem to be the case. We have other evidence as well that show that there's employees that are double or triple hatted. They work for TikTok, they work for ByteDance, and they work for the CCP. In fact, there's CCP committees within these organizations. So I think that was one area of concern today, where bipartisan Republicans and Democrats exposed some pretty serious weaknesses in their claim that there's a firewall between them and the Chinese government.
Yeah, he's got more details in a second, but I heard somebody say today, and I thought it was pretty good, it doesn't work for the guy from TikTok to stand up there and say, look, we're not part of the Chinese government. We're an independent private company, while the Chinese Communist Party is putting out statements saying, if you ban TikTok, this will happen, or whatever. It's kind of weird. I mean, the country standing up for the so-called private company.
I was going to bring that up. That was one of the more almost like written comedy aspects of this yesterday. Well, this guy's swearing up and down that they have independence from the Communist Party of China. The Chinese Commerce Ministry came out and publicly opposed any forced sale or divestment, saying that any sale involving the export of technology would require government approval. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah. Right.
So this company can't make a major step without government approval. Thank you. We're done here.
So, but here's more from the FCC commissioner on the ties between TikTok and the Communist Party.
There's another report that came out just in the past week, 113 pages, that just detailed the controls and links that the CCP has. TikTok has said, look, don't worry, we have this Project Texas. It's going to minimize the risk. But I think the testimony today showed that plan has, you know, more holes than Swiss cheese, and it really wouldn't block. In fact, I think really that was the key coming out of the hearing. Democrat ranking member Pallone said, I don't believe that your Project Texas mitigation measures would actually prevent the CCP from having control. So that was one big thing out of this hearing.
Yeah, I sure appreciate the fact that the committee as a whole, or the individuals, I don't know how it worked, did their homework on this and had, you know, some evidence and facts they could bring to the argument. Here's Representative Dan Crenshaw talking to the poor TikTok guy yesterday.
ByteDance owns TikTok. If ByteDance is and the CCP owns ByteDance, because the CCP owns everybody in China. By law, they can make them do whatever they want, and they say that by law, you can't tell anyone about it. So they can make you hand over that data. Is that correct?
Data is stored here in American soil by an American company overseen by American.
We thought that, but leaked audio from 80 internal TikTok meetings shows that U.S. user data has been repeatedly accessed from China.
That guy was not going to budge from that line. And of course, why would he? How could he? Because what is he going to do? Say, yeah, you got us. Yeah, we're an arm of the Communist Party. There's no such thing as a private company in China. And they have access to all the information we're stealing from you. So anyway, what are you going to do?
We're printing money like the U.S. Mint and want it to continue. I'm prepared to say anything. What would you like me to say?
Here's another rep taking on the guy. 36.
You expect us to believe that you are capable of maintaining the data security, privacy, and security of 150 million Americans, where you can't even protect the people in this room?
I was briefed during the break that they are taken down.
Oh, that was on the whole. We should play the longer version of that we have from yesterday. Can we bring back the clips we had from yesterday? Because those were all late in the show, and we should get those on again for the good folks that have not heard them. But that was around the topic of TikTok having up some TikToks that were threatening the very committee that was questioning this guy. And the threats stayed up for, 40-some days before they finally took them down. Here's where they got into some of the nitty-gritty of the politics on the China mainland that I thought was interesting.
Do you agree that the Chinese government has persecuted the Uyghur population?
Congresswoman, if you use our app and you open it, you will find our users who get all sorts of content.
That's not my question. My question is, do you agree that the Chinese government has persecuted the Uyghur population? Mr. Chu, do you agree that the Chinese government has persecuted the Uyghur population?
Congresswoman, if you use our app and you open it, you will find our users who get all sorts of content.
That's not my question. My question is, do you agree that the Chinese government has persecuted the Uyghur population?
Well, it's deeply concerning to hear about all accounts of human rights abuse. My role here is to explain what our platform does on this.
It's a pretty easy question. Do you agree that the Chinese government has persecuted the Uyghur population?
Congresswoman, I'm here to describe TikTok and what we do as a platform. And as a platform, we allow our users to freely express their views on this issue and any other issue that matters to them.
Well, you didn't answer the question.
So I think that there's a bad edit there. Yes, you did hear it twice. You're not having an aneurysm. I think the point...
It might be both, of course. You might be having an aneurysm there was a bad edit.
We need to have a disclaimer because we could get sued.
Right. You just gave medical advice right there.
Disc jockeys claiming you're not having an aneurysm are not proof of a lack of an aneurysm.
That's right.
I assume the line of questioning there was... Look, everybody in the world knows what's going on with the Uyghurs. The fact that you're too scared to say it out loud is proof that the Chinese Communist Party has control over your company. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way he can be operating independently and be too scared to speak openly in that hearing about what's going on with their politics at home. Those two things can't possibly go together.
Well, you could argue that, look, he's a businessman. He doesn't want to offend China. It's just a question of good business. Why would you poke your thumb in their eye? He's doing the same thing LeBron James does.
I think for the same reasons, though, isn't it?
Sure. For profit.
China can yank you around?
China can decide whether you're going to continue to do business and make that profit or not. So they have enormous leverage over you. Even if they don't have direct mechanisms to control you. But they've got both in China.
Let's go on with a little more from this woman, Debbie Lesko.
Earlier today, Chairman Rogers asked you, and I quote, have any moderation tools been used to remove content associated with the Uyghur genocide, yes or no? Your answer, we do not remove that kind of content. Yet, in 2019, TikTok suspended the account of Feroza Aziz, an American 17-year-old, after she put out a video about the Uyghur genocide. So, your answer, sir, does not align with history.
That particular case was a mismoderation. I believe that video had a picture of Osama bin Laden, so we thought it was content that was inappropriate.
Yeah, I looked it up. That was a different post that they banned.
TikTok I can get back on the specifics, yes.
You know, I never say this, but I was impressed by Congress yesterday. And I'm not exactly... Do you have any idea what's driving this? Is it just good old-fashioned patriotism and recognizing the threat that China is? But I feel like they did way more homework than they often do for any of these hearings.
I don't think we see most of the hearings.
High-profile hearings then.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This one was much better researched and much better run. And the fact that it was bipartisan helped because you didn't have, you know, ridiculous ideological red herrings being thrown around like you usually do. You know, efforts to get your guy out of trouble.
Maybe that's just it. Maybe if you got them, if you don't have the R's and D's and the teams fighting each other, you can actually accomplish something. I don't know. One more that I really want to hear here, because I don't think I've heard this clip. This is Representative Tony Cardenz, Democrat of California, about whether or not TikTok is a Chinese company.
Are you a Chinese company?
TikTok is a company that's now headquartered in Singapore and Los Angeles.
Okay.
We are not available in mainland China. Our users are in other countries around the world.
Is there a corporation that has any authority above TikTok?
TikTok is a subsidiary of ByteDance, which is founded by a Chinese founder.
And ByteDance is a Chinese company?
ByteDance owns many businesses that operate in China.
Is it or is it not a Chinese company?
Congressman, the way we look at it, it was founded by Chinese entrepreneurs.
No, I'm not asking you how you look at it. Fact, is it a Chinese company or not?
I frequently have these discussions with others on what is a company that is now global.
That's okay. I prefer you answer the question and stop dancing verbally on it.
That's a pretty good answer at the end. We're a global company. That's what we are.
What he sounds like is like Mark Zuckerberg with a charming Asian accent. It's like he was studying Mark Zuckerberg's. Thank you for the question, Senator. I will have my people get back to you. I don't know, Senator. I would be happy to get back to you on that. That weirdly chipper positive, you've called me a communist spy, but I'm just so excited to tell you about my company. We'd be delighted to get back to you on that specific case, Senator. Thank you for the question, Congresswoman.
I doubt that's an accident. I would imagine they had people studying the tech hearings that have gone on in the United States to prepare for this, and they heard the way Zuckerberg handled it.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you. Just be positive and say you'll get that information to him soon and then disappear and never hear about it again. We got more of that. We'll get to you later. But I was pretty happy with the grilling Congress gave him. Now, do you think TikTok's going to end up getting banned in the United States? I feel like it's inevitable. It's just a matter of when.
You know, the only hedge I would have on answering that question, I think, got answered because the whole Texas plan, is that whether Operation Texas or Remember the Alamo or whatever the hell they were calling it? I lack the technical expertise to understand how good an idea that is. But I was reading some stuff that tech expert Clon Kitchen wrote on that topic. And he said essentially that, well, let me quote him. Even if every line of TikTok's code was initially reviewed and validated, there's simply no way to maintain reliable, real-time situational awareness on a code base this large that is this frequently updated. Essentially, there's no effective way to guarantee what they say they're guaranteeing. So, having said that, I don't see a way around TikTok being banned. Now, it's worth noting that it would still exist on 150 million Americans' phones, and it wouldn't go away immediately. It would be rendered useless eventually by updates that those people couldn't update through the usual means, but it would continue to be accessed by hundreds of millions, well, tens of millions of Americans every day.
I hadn't really thought about that, but I suppose that's true. We can't make them turn it off.
No, the government can't really go into your phone and yank your apps, thank God.
Huh. Yet. That's pretty interesting. Okay. We ought to hit you with the latest Trump DeSantis poll. We won't linger on it. We won't drill it into the ground. We won't do three Good. Segments with a panel of nine experts.
No, hell, I hardly even care. It's a snapshot in time, Jack.
I love it when you say stuff like that. That's what I like.
People get paid a lot of money to say crap like that on cable news. You ever notice that?
That's true. Make their livings with it.
We'll go to your panel now, Jim. Well, it's a snapshot in time. It was a good change. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but the swing, a couple of polls where it swung so far toward Trump and away from DeSantis. What is driving that? I'm curious about a lot, but we'll hit you with the latest poll and a bunch of other stuff on the way. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Gonzaga held off UCLA last night in a barn burner of a game, and they once again move on. That little school is a powerhouse of college basketball, no doubt about it.
The Zags, the mighty Zags.
Here's a couple. I got this text about shoes. Yes, my son walks so his Nikes don't get creased. So it's I knew it wasn't just my kid because I see the other kids in junior high and high school walking like they're Frankenstein with their feet flat, lifting them up and down so they won't bend their shoes and crease the toes. My son does that. His friends do that. And here someone says, up in Truckee, even mountain folk do it.
Wow. Wow.
Funny, isn't it?
You parents are soft these days. I told my kids from the time they were toddlers, you want shoes, you're going to earn them. Go get a job. You buy your kids shoes? Unbelievable. Oh, that reminds me of an email we got that we need to share next hour. It's a great example of what life is like when you do this for a living. Complete head scratcher.
So there's a group of polls that are more respected than other polls that are out there, and we've talked about that before and gone through the names of some of them. But here, a couple in the last week, a couple of your top-tier polls that people tend to trust had a huge swing in a couple of months where DeSantis was leading Trump to where now Trump is way ahead of DeSantis. In both of the polls, there's like a 27-point swing, including this most recent Morning Consult poll from a couple of days ago. Huge swing toward Trump away from DeSantis, and everybody's guessing as to why. I don't have a guess as to why.
Best guess is just that people didn't really think Trump was running, maybe, and were looking toward the future.
Oh.
But then, you know, Trump got, now he's the subject of every other news story again, and it's all about Trump again. So he's back on the scene, and the tribes are pro-Trump or anti-Trump. So all the pro-Trump people or the people who refuse to be in the anti-Trump tribe, they're all saying, I'm for Trump.
I don't have any idea why, and so we're guessing on that, and rather than speculate, I can move on to this. I do think that DeSantis is going to see this as I'm just not like the new hot thing like Obama was running against Hillary, and I don't need to take on Trump. I'm just the new hot thing. My own momentum is going to carry this. Mm-hmm. He might decide with these polls out that I'm going to have to take him straight on. Here's why you suck. DeSantis saying this. This is why I'm better than you. You're terrible at this. You're bad at that. You did this or what. He's going to have to, isn't he? To get pointed about this rather than you can just pretend the other guy doesn't exist and run on his successes, his own successes.
I think you're 100% right. Yeah, it's just a question of timing when he thinks it's the right time to do that, he and his people, because he has a good team around him, too.
Yeah, and then that gets into the, what do they call it, the hidden primary or the secret primary or whatever it is, that is the donor class. And that's why, you know, we all talk about how early it is and why are people talking about this, but the behind-the-scenes people, they're all trying to figure out who they're going to support with their money, and and campaign staff, like the most talented people, are deciding which campaign to work for, and all that sort of stuff is important early on. So anyway, there's that. Then this story from Yahoo News, which I find really interesting. Voters of color heavily favor Trump over DeSantis. One of the reasons, and they use this Quinnipiac poll in which Trump is ahead of DeSantis, it's driven mostly by non-white voters. Among white voters, Trump and DeSantis are tied. But among non-white voters, there's a huge lead for Trump. 55% of potential Republicans of color to DeSantis is 26. So he's got almost a 30-point lead among Republican voters of color. Trump over DeSantis. The racist candidate, as he's called by all of mainstream media.
Of course, all Republicans are called racists.
True. But so how do you explain that one? Do you have an explanation for that?
Well, my only guess is that, and this is a guess, and I don't feel great about it, is that with virtually all of the lying lefty media repeating the lie that DeSantis banned any discussion of racism. You can't teach black history in Florida schools. You can't teach about slavery, which is utterly, utterly dishonest. I wonder if a certain number of black Republicans heard that and bought it.
Could be. I'm leaning toward it's Hispanics who are religious and black people who are religious. And Trump is, for whatever reason, the candidate of the religious. He just is.
Which is difficult to explain.
But it's true. That is not in doubt. What are our attitudes about the future of America? We can get into that in hour two. I hope you can stick around.
Armstrong and Getty.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.